Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay,
and Mark.
And Jay had his promo to tell you about Anarchapulco. What is that, Jay?
So, Anarchapulco is the largest international freedom conference, from what I understand. And it happens February 11th to 16th in Acapulco, Mexico. So, if you guys know who Jeff Berwick, Dollar Vigilante, is, he does these walk-in talks, vigilante.tv with his dog Lucy. And now he's got a son. I'm actually... I think Jeff has really come along, done some brain development since
he's had a baby.
He's got a baby that's almost a year old. So I'm pretty primed to talk to. Basically, he's my audience. You know, men or people with kids, or people who want kids, and in general, people who want to invest in our posterity. That is what I'm going to be speaking about at Anarchapulco. I'm also just filled out the paperwork to do a workshop. I don't know if they're going to pick my workshop. I really have never done a workshop, but I pitched them on doing a workshop about solutions on what to do, what kind of individual solutions, depending on, you know, what your culture is, where you live, what you have for money, to, you know, get your kids in the mindset of earning their dopamine hits and not getting addicted to getting free dopamine hits from the internet devices. So Anarchapulco is going to be a great time. There's going to be all kinds of speakers there. In fact, a lot of them I'm very excited to meet. And it's a beautiful place to go. The place is... The Secret Garden looks really good. It's coming back to life. They've got it cleaned up. This is where they host this event down there in Acapulco. And if you go to acapulco.com/tickets and you use the coupon code J, that's J-A-Y, you can get a 10% discount. And there's all kinds of stuff that they're actually going to have going on. There's Agroforco, which is going to be the week after in Acapulco. February.
Who runs that one?
What's that?
Do you know who runs that one?
As a decentralized event, basically our equivalent to ForkFest.
Mm-hmm.
And so I plan on being there for Agroforco. And then February 7th, 17th through 18th, there is a Game Changers. And that location is to be announced. But the Game Changers thing is Jeff Berwick's been pitching this as, if you really want to, step it up and do the hard work, this Game Changers thing is, going to make you Superman or something, is the way he pitches it. But, he's done a lot of good things, I think. And a lot of people seem to like the guy, and they've been, satisfied with his, work. And, I want liberty in my lifetime, and I feel going to Anarchapulco and presenting to people how to, my idea and investing in our posterity is how we're going to get there, because we need the future generations to just not be reliant on government. We need them to be, independent, strong people, and, when you earn the free when you get free dopamine hits as a child, it's quite likely you're going to grow up just wanting to be a parasite and not earn your dopamine hits from, working hard, for example.
Well, thank you so much, Jay, for sharing that with us about Anarchapulco. There was a hurricane there, and they're still going to go on with stuff. I saw a chunk taken out of a hotel there. It's a pretty crazy hurricane. some people think was not real.
Yeah, Jeff Rowick thinks it was a directed weapon, basically, you know, sent directly into Max Egan's house. I don't know if you guys know who Max Egan is.
I've heard that name.
He refers to himself as the Crow House. I listen to his things on LBRY. He's on Odyssey and Butch Shoot and Vigilante.
Is he the one that him and his wife do audiobooks? That
nope,
guy?
Nope.
Okay. I don't know who that is, but I know the name. Well, it looks like we have the caller on the line, Skeeter in California. Oh, you got to turn your radio off. Okay, never mind. Actually, sorry, I can't talk to you, Skeeter. 603-283-6160. Skeeter doesn't follow the rules, so he doesn't get to be on the air. But you can. 603-283-6160. We'll say
sounds like you're carrying a grudge against Skeeter.
No, I just don't like to talk to him, and he calls the entire show. That's actually, like, if I believed in police, he could get in trouble for that. He literally is on,
just
like,
nonstop.
Literally doing, like, stalking or whatever it is, harassment. He's harassing me every single day that I do the show, and I don't
want
to talk to him.
You can't give the telephone number and then call harassment.
No, I told him I don't want to talk to him, so that's not the same thing. He knows the telephone number, but I'm not inviting him to call. Well, Ian told me how to block people, and it doesn't work.
So anyways, Mark, I would like to kind of brainstorm with you a little bit here live on the air. I want to tell you about an idea I have. So I do want to run for state representative again. My wife doesn't really want me to because, you know, she just would rather, you know, have
me
at home.
That'd be a lot of time, yeah.
But I think, you know, me literally running as a state representative and not even going to the state house and not even doing a darn thing would be a lot better than someone who's going to go there and vote for masks, vote for mandated injections, someone who's, you know, basically a, you know, brain dead, you know, Democrat type, you know, that just, you know, loves the state and everything, you know, the state wants to do. Because those are basically who, you know, I ran against before. So New Hampshire, the area I'm in, the voting district is Henniker, Bradford, and Warner. And basically who decides who wins the vote is the college, because Henniker's a college town.
Okay.
So who
what
goes?
College?
New England College.
Okay, I'm not even familiar with it, but all right.
It's like a...
Isn't that the one in Hillsborough?
No, New England College is in Henniker.
Oh, that's what I meant. Sorry,
yep.
I mixed those two up.
And so basically, from what I understand, it's sort of like a liberal arts college. All the kids I have talked to are going to school for, like, educational studies, childhood something or another, you know, liberal arts degrees. So basically, and the demographic of it is inner city kids, from what I understand. And they are...
They must be pretty bored out in Henniker.
They're all afraid of the woods. They're all, like, afraid of bears. I've definitely, like I'm like, what's the worst thing about being here? They're like, oh, I'm scared of bears. Everyone said they're scared of bears. The boys and the girls that
they have guns. But then you need a crazy gun for a bear, right?
Well, the bears in New Hampshire generally go the other way, unless...
Yeah, someone was telling me if I have coconut with me, a bear will not mess with me. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's a chihuahua. And they were like, a bear will not mess with coconut barking at them.
Unless the bear knows how good coconut tastes. Because bears do definitely like to eat small animals if they can. But the thing in New Hampshire is... You know, unless you, like, mess with a mama bear or that mama bear feels like you're threatening her cubs, they're generally gonna leave you alone. If you see bear cubs, you need to make it a point to get the hell out of there. That is when you're going to be in trouble, is if there is bear cubs.
That's good advice. I'd say moose are more dangerous in New Hampshire than bears.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You hit a moose, what happens is a moose is very tall. Their legs are long and lanky. And their center of gravity is up very high. And what happens is all of that 95% of that moose's mass lands on your
mass.
Moose mass lands on your lap.
That's terrifying.
And it actually lands on your steering wheel and drives that into your lap. And that is usually what causes...
Yep. For those that don't know what it's like to hit a moose, it's like a full 80-gallon hot water heater suspended on 4 6-foot 2x4s. It just, you hit, you knock the 2x4s over, and then the hot water heater, full hot water heater, lands right through the windshield of a regular car.
Yeah, I did a job knocking on doors for politicians in New Hampshire, but I was smarter than everybody else, so I made sure that my job was mostly getting in the car and going to pick up this guy from over here and bringing him to this neighborhood. So I wasn't, like, out in the middle of nowhere very often, unless it was like, oh, I was really needed to be walking far away from my car. But even then, it's like a lot of times things were far enough away I could drive house to house. But anyways, tons of my friends have been just walking and been like, there's a freaking mama bear and there's all its babies.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what do you do? You just got to be quiet and careful because they don't have cars with them. They're just walking past them and they just have to be, don't go near them.
And I think when it comes to encountering bears, bear spray would be more effective than a gun. And probably the most effective part of the gun is the noise of the gun, more so than the bullet, unless you're going to carry like a Desert Eagle 50 cal with you, or you have a shotgun, you know, carrying with you, but like you're, you know, 9 millimeter or, I mean, even a 45, like, you know, unless you hit them square in the head, like bears, like, just don't care. If they're going to come after you, they're coming after you.
That about the noise makes sense, because a lot of people in Utah would say, not obviously a gun would be better, but another good weapon, quote unquote, against the cougars. Because sometimes I'd be like, that's so creepy. There's cougars in the mountains. Well, people would say, all you need is a flashlight. If you flash a flashlight at them, they'll freak out and leave. And I don't know if that's true, but a lot of people said that to me.
So my thought is that in these college towns like my town, the college kids just all vote Democrat. They don't even care. So I would definitely run as a Democrat. And we have.
I would think the kids. In your town, does the Democrat normally get elected?
Always.
Because always. It's always a Democrat.
Yeah, it's a college town, so it makes sense.
Well, I would think they wouldn't even run at all, to be honest. Or, excuse me, they wouldn't vote at all, the college kids.
Oh, sure. It's like a real big thing.
They could bust them in, for one thing. Like, college kids are not interested in it, but, or maybe a lot of them are not interested in it, but a bunch of them get bussed to go vote, and they all are like, well, I guess I'm a Democrat.
They have whole things. So, but the thing is, so basically all you really got to do is just go engage the college kids, which is actually pretty easy to do. So, like, one of the things that, like, the Democrats have when it, you know, comes to voting is their constituents are basically, you know, living in these dorm buildings, whether it be low-income housing, whether it be apartment blocks within the cities. So what they can do is they can go literally knock on, like, 10 doors an hour, to where out in rural America, where the conservatives are, is, you know, it's you how many doors could you knock on an hour, Bonnie, when you were doing your campaigning?
Well, okay, you shouldn't ask me, but one of my friends who takes the job really seriously, at one point they were asking him to knock on 150 doors a day, and that was like, wow, that's really hard. It's normally like 75 to 80 or something like that.
Now that sounds like
a
suburb.
And those are good people. Yeah.
You know where I live, right?
No, I'm talking about even in New Hampshire, but...
I'm just saying...
They drove around.
Like Henniker, New Hampshire... Which is a big spread of land. Ware, New Hampshire, big spread of land. You know, you got to get in a car, drive a couple minutes to the next driveway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some of my neighbors' driveways, like if, you know, you need a four-wheel drive pickup truck on a day like today just to get up the driveway if it's like raining and, you know, because they got a dirt, you know, sloshy driveway. All over New Hampshire's, you know, rural America's like that. It's very hard to get out and, like, convince people to vote. So people really need a reason to vote for somebody. But in a Democrat area, in the dense areas, the Democrat ground game is really, really good because they can go there and convince people to vote. If you, as especially, like, you know, the guy who's running for the position himself goes and talks to people, they are quite likely, you know, going to vote.
And that's what now, David Hathaway did. David Hathaway, who's a sheriff in Nogales, Arizona, he and his wife went door-to-door talking to people, and she would even send them letters, because she's just a really caring person who remembers, like, all their kids' names and would be like, how's your kid doing and all this stuff, and he won, like, by landslide being the newbie.
But what we need is we need more free staters willing to... Or liberty-minded people in general. It doesn't even have to be free staters, but let's just say free staters to run as Democrats in these college towns, because just like Aria, she ran for sheriff here.
Yeah, as a Republican.
As a Republican, as a, you know, trans Satanist. I forget what her whole spiel was off the top of my head. And this is still making national news. I hear people talk about, you know, this on podcasts again and again. They're like, oh, yeah, this trans dude that is the high priestess of this Satan's
they still talk about it?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Ran as a Republican in New Hampshire and won the primary for sheriff. It basically goes to show that people don't pay attention who they're voting for.
Yep.
Well, that's the truth. That's for sure.
So, in these
let me answer the question, Jay.
Yep.
When it comes to running for New Hampshire State House, I would agree that running and doing nothing more than winning, that running in and of itself has value when it comes to New Hampshire, that winning, you are a better rep than a Democrat that actually shows up, and probably better than a Republican that shows up, that
yeah,
you you
good.
Vote half, by not voting, you vote half right on every issue. When it comes to actually going and being one of the 400 reps in New Hampshire, I think you have to kind of look at what it's like at town meeting. How many people show up at town meeting in Henniker?
Literally only the Parasite class shows up.
What's the number?
Like 85 people.
Right. So town meeting, you know what it's like to propose something at town meeting. You know what it's like to call for a vote. You know what it's like to vote against something in town meeting. And it's nearly ineffective. When you're among 400 people, the likelihood that you're going to be the deciding vote is low. So I almost recommend against going. I'm not saying I do. I think that the reps that go to every single opportunity to go for every committee, everything, those are the people that have the real power. And frankly, I believe you could have that kind of power without even being elected as a rep. If you just even didn't have the vote, you just went and, you know, gave your opinion every day in, you know, New Hampshire and gave it in a clear and concise fashion, that you could develop your own political pull without even being a rep.
That's a good point.
Not that I'm recommending doing that. I'm just saying that the state's largest legislative body among the states is a big body, and it's hard to be meaningful in that body.
So you're saying it would be better to just run and get city councilor or something?
I think if I ran, my advice to Jay would be this, is run, show up for the big votes, because that's once a week, you know, dedicate half a day, three quarters of a day to go and vote on some issues. That way you're getting your votes in and no one can say, hey, he's been absent, or at least get enough votes in that you're not counted as absent on the very biggest days. I mean, I think it's done on Wednesdays, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And that's my guess, tops 10 Wednesdays per year. So, you know, if you're giving up three quarters of a day, 10 days.
You do have to think how much more, you know, dedicated those people are to getting their people involved. First of all, Democrats in general, 10 times more dedicated to getting their people, specific
person,
involved.
They got nothing better to do but make sure that, you know, they get their people involved. It's their livelihood. This is, you know, the whole deal. And the amount of money that comes into New Hampshire from, like, out of state for,
yeah,
like, all these Democrat, oh, yeah, things is
especially
insane.
It's crazy. So when I went and held signs for Matt Santanastasso in Dublin, I kind of made friends with the older Democrat ladies there just because I stood up for myself against a man, and they liked that. And then they were like, well, why are you holding a Republican sign? I mean, but whatever. And I was listening to their conversations together whenever their friends would walk in. They were all like, so vote yes on this and no on that. They were like giving them instructions. They were like, yes, yes, yes. So remember from the meeting, vote yes on this and no on that. Vote for blah, blah, blah. And they're like telling them who to vote for.
Oh, yeah. So when I was holding a sign outside of the polling place in Henniker, for the primary and the general, so many people came up to me. They're like, Jay, I don't know who to vote for. Who's any good here? You know, who's all right? I'm like, well, you know, all the guys that are, you know, Republican for state representative actually. So what was kind of cool is all the Republicans that ran in my district, there was six of us in the primary, but there was only three seats, because every one of them was pretty much like principled constitutionalist freedom type. Two of them were free staters. And
including you.
Yes. And four of them were like locals. And I had talked with all these guys, and we all very much shared similar values, agreed government should be very, very small. But what was interesting is I got to chat with the Democrat guy, Tony Kaplan, who I ran against him, and he ended up winning. And you know, he's a nice guy. He's all right to chat with. But, like, you know, the guy has, like, not much wisdom, you know, when it comes to, like, you know, he thinks, like, the Federal Reserve is doing a fantastic job.
Wow.
He thinks, like, Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and Bill Gates are good. He believes that, you know, everybody should have to wear masks during a health emergency. You know, he doesn't think that you have the freedom not to be vaccinated because, you know, that this is how plagues move around and how plagues. He's just, you know, he has no wisdom, but he's never really had an actual job. He's been, you know, like an educator his whole life, from what I understand. But there was this older woman there that was very sweet, and she was holding up these Democrat signs, and we started talking about something about nutrition. And I says, well, yeah, you know, a lot of the, I go, I used to be 300 pounds. And she's like, wow. She was, you look very good now. How, you know, how'd you do that? I go, I just stopped eating all government subsidized food for about 6 months. And I went from 265 pounds to, you know, 210 pounds.
What did she say to that?
She's like, oh. Like, I don't understand what government-subsidized food is.
Was she fat?
No. So this woman had a background in nutrition, and she was like, she was actually, like, pretty darn good-looking lady for being, like, near 70 years old, and probably...
Okay, old. So that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I feel like a lot of old people, really old people, are not that fat because they didn't eat, like, crap their whole life.
But she understood all of this stuff about, like, you know, Monsanto and the Roundup and the glyphosate and how it came from Agent Orange. And, like, and I'm like, well, you know, you can't get government subsidy unless you use all that stuff, a government crop subsidy. And she's like, I know, I didn't know that. I says, yeah. I go, the reason we have and she's an environmentalist. And I'm like, well, the reason that we have a Mississippi dead zone is because of government farm subsidies. All of those fake, you know, synthetic manure, synthetic fertilizer that is running down in Mississippi only exists because that's what you're required to use for your Monsanto growing practices to get your federal crop subsidy check.
603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to get in on the conversation with us and bring up whatever's on your mind. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
U.S. USA News Update. A migrant caravan en route to the U.S. has crossed into southern Mexico. Thousands of migrants from Central and South America entering the Mexican state of Chiapas. More U.S. dollars headed to Ukraine. The State Department announcing a $250 million Ukraine military aid package yesterday. The last one the U.S. will give Ukraine until Congress approves the Biden administration's funding requests. Former President Trump celebrating a legal victory in Michigan, where that state's Supreme Court has ruled against keeping him off the election ballot. The group suing is also suing to do the same in Minnesota and Oregon. Gypsy Rose Blanchard has been released from prison after serving 8 years for persuading her now ex-boyfriend to kill her mother. Corey Myers, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number that you can call to get in on the conversation with us, and it looks like we actually have a couple callers on the line right now. 603-283-6160, and with you in the studio tonight, we've got me, Bonnie.
Jay.
And me, Mark Edge.
And we have Dodger on the line in, is that Minnesota or Michigan? Wait, Michigan. Right, Dodger?
Michigan. Yes, Bonnie.
What's on your mind?
Kalamazoo. Yes. I'm fanboying out here with both Jay Noon and Mark.
Wait. So you're telling me that Free Talk Live isn't going to fail because I put Mark on there instead of the person we had before?
Heck no.
Excellent.
at either rate, I've called past about actually of manning up at the age of 17 and emancipating myself. And I'm not sure who necessarily was on the air, but I guess I just don't understand. And I've only been listening for a few minutes tonight, but with Jay Noon and Mark on the air, I'd kind of like a little insight as to how somebody at the age of 17 can actually go out and make a way for themselves in this world. Kind of like I did.
You mean today? Then that would be more difficult. Is that the suggestion?
Well, this was in 2000 when I did it. So I mean, it's 23 years later.
So am I just predicting how you did it in the past, or do you want me to say how to do it now?
I would one do it now because I know how I did it then.
Yeah. Well, it's right. I guess the one most valuable trait in an employee, I wouldn't go start my own business straight away, you know, just coming out of the house with not a penny to my name, without two nickels to rub together. But the one trait that's valuable then that is valuable now is attitude when it comes to an employee. In my opinion, an employee, a 17-year-old with the right attitude, can walk into pretty much any business, get himself hired, and manage to move up relatively quickly simply because he or she care about their job. Because it's very difficult to put together that particular skill. And I know I didn't have it when I was 17.
I can promise you that that's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
So is it harder nowadays for 17-year-olds? Is that the idea?
I don't think so. So I definitely.
I think the government's made it harder for 17-year-olds to get work, but a good attitude will trump that any day.
So people are really desperate for work right now. So like one of my good friends, he has a business locally. And he's got a young man working for him, and the kid's like, I think he's 20 years old, and this is his second job, and his job before that was a dishwasher for 8 months.
At McDonald's, right?
I don't know. This is a different guy.
I
don't think there are dishes. Yeah,
you're
watching.
You're right. No. We were just talking about yesterday. They do it in France now because they're forcing them to not have one-use wrappers and stuff. But it's funny because it's like the second guy you've told basically this kind of story about, who is a 20-year-old, used to work at somewhere else, and so now he's out.
He was working at a mom-and-pop restaurant, and now he's working at a small engine repair, you know, type, you know, they work on a lot of little equipment, they do a lot of maintenance, good little business. And the guy who is a father and son that own the business, and, you know, the young man, he has very, very little experience, but what he does have is he has ambition, and he doesn't really have his confidence is building. He's only been working there for about 4 or 5 weeks from what I understand, but he's always like, every time I'm there, he's like doing something, he's finding something to do. As soon as he's like done with a task, he goes and asks what's the next task, and he's pretty good about also like doing homework. So one of the things I suggested to this kid is like, hey, you want to learn about this particular machine and what maintenance it requires, or any of the machines, just go on YouTube and just, you know, internet search, you know, what the machine is, because they got all kinds of equipment at this place, and, you know, what the maintenance interviews are, what you want to do for maintenance, how, you know, what it needs, because a lot of the jobs that these guys are doing is maintenance. So he does that stuff. And I often tell kids that they should go home and they should investigate questions that customers ask on their own time to make themselves like a better employee. Like, there's a camper place down the road, and a girl was like 17 years old working a cash register, and she didn't
like
have...
Like filling like RVs?
Yeah, basically she was working in like the store. There's like a little retail store there. And she didn't have the answer for a question that a customer had in front of me, and she had to go get somebody. I'm like, oh, I know how to answer that question. Yeah, I've dealt with this thing before. And then I said to the girl, I says, you know, you should make it a point to like write this down and like internet search. So like 2 weeks later, I go in there, and her boss was like, oh, did you tell so-and-so that she should, like, internet search this on her own time? She's been doing that.
And she's
going to be the last one to get fired, you know, when it comes time for layoffs or winter time or whatever, because, you know, she showed value. But the other
That's
thing,
really
too,
nice.
Is I would add to this, to Mark's answer, and this answer is, so, like, I kind of like to say that I have engaged in a soy boy recovery program for some young men. And one of my first things I offered these guys, you know, and one guy, he was like, you know, he wanted to maybe be trans himself to a girl.
Hmm.
And I'm like, well, why don't you eat some beef? Here's some hamburger. Eat some beef. And, you know, maybe, you know, stop eating, like, things that are fried, you know, in vegetable oil. Stop eating, you know, processed junk food. You know, he's a single young man, doesn't live with anybody. He's living by himself. You know, he's camping most of the time. I'm like, just, you need to eat some beef. Eat some meat.
I wouldn't be surprised if most people with things that are considered mental health problems, which being trans is one, I'm not saying that there's no such thing as people who would just want to live as a different gender, but I think that 90% of people with any kind of mental health problem can turn it around themselves with their diet and with working out and doing things that make them happier.
Yes. So anyways, like, just, and I was like, just eat beef. You don't have to eat anything else. Just eat some beef for, like, several days.
And beef is, like, the best animal.
And like, you know, just, like, whole fruits and vegetables, but, like, none of this processed stuff, you know, because he's basically, you know, like, going to a convenience store and getting, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. And and the other thing, too, is what I really, really like, especially for, like, teenagers, is, like, you don't have, like, if you're living at home with your parents, you should be, like, building skills and honing those skills. And I really like apprenticeship programs. Like, if you just show up to, like, a farm and you'll be like, hey, listen, I need a job. And the guy's like, well, you don't have any experience. I don't want to hire you. And you'd be like, listen, I will just, like, work for free for a week. You don't even have to pay me. Because, like, when you show up at and you don't know how to do the job and you have no experience, you're now a distraction to the guy and a potential liability. So if you're like, oh, I'll just do this for free, well, here's a pitchfork, here's a shovel, go shovel that manure over there. Like, there's always those, go stack that hay. I mean, there's a lot of low-skilled jobs that can sort of be like, you know, done.
Also, when you've got to speak the language of the person who's trying, that you're trying to get hired by. So if you're talking about a small business person, in many cases, they're the kind of person that went to work at 15 or 16 years old, and they fancy themselves that they would have offered their services for free, that they really wanted to, you know, be one of these, you know, these hardworking young people. Whether it's true or not, they imagine it's true. I certainly do. And, you know, when you start saying things like that to them, there's no way that they're going to be able to say no.
Yeah, that's very true. Like, there's a local huge tree company in town. I think they're called A.W. Brown. And they, like, do a bunch of land clearing. There's lots full of, like, I don't know, $50 million worth of equipment. It's a big, big outfit. And the guy who's, like, the foreman there, he basically said that he started working for you know, John Brown or whatever his name was, you know, when he was 9 years old. Now he's like, we'd all go to jail if we let a 9 year old work with us today. But he was 9 years old and he's out there with, you know, real life lumberjacks being a lumberjack. And his job was like, you know, shoveling the mud off the tracks of the machine at the end of the day so it wouldn't freeze to the ground and, like, you know, checking the oil and just washing windows and, you know, just making sure
whatever they could give them to do.
Right. And there's always it's just kind of like being on a fire department. Like, if you're a volunteer firefighter, I was hanging out at the fire department with my uncle when I was 14 years old. I technically couldn't be on the fire department, but I could be at the fire station rolling up hose, you know, cleaning things up, helping guys put gear away. And
it's like my sister's boyfriend that's staying here right now. He said that his great grandpa that he lived with would just send him to go hang out with the boys at the golf club that do the following them around and what, the lackeys, you know.
The caddies,
there we go, wrong word. So he would send him and say, hey, caddies, watch my great-grandson. And then he basically got, not really work experience, but, you know, interest in work. What are you trying to say, Dodger? Turned you back up. You're breathing kind of in the mic there.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You and I are that breathing.
At either rate, no. I'm just kind of hoping to share my experience with other listeners. I mean, it started out just with a paper route at the age of 10. And I built that, and rich friends that were, I say rich friends, friends that came from wealthy households. I came from a very low class. We were probably the poorest people in our neighborhood, but they learned a good work ethic at a very young age because my mom said, all right, I'll feed you. I'll put clothes on your back and I'll put a roof over your head. That's about all I can do for you. And if I wanted anything else, and so I guess I developed a good work ethic from a very young age. And
that work ethic is, to my mind, that work ethic is the number one thing that I would be looking for from any employee. The next thing I'd be looking for is initiative. Jay was talking about it here when he was saying something to the effect of, you know, go home and figure out the top 10 questions that customers ask, research it, and have an answer. You know, just to be the kind of person that solves problems, attempts to solve problems, and, you know, if there's trash on the ground, pick it up. You know, you don't wait for your boss to tell you to do everything.
Yeah, every time I go places with my kids and there's trash on the ground, we just pick up trash. Like at Pork Fest, up at the kid playground, there was like no trash cans up there. So every evening, you know, me and my kids are just walking around picking up trash. And they were, you know, my daughter's, you know, body slamming my son running over to pick up the, you know, because there's one piece of trash to pick up and they both want to get it. So there was like the competition to do it. And then like 3 days into this, there's like seven or eight kids all running around picking up trash when I, you know, when they see me and my kids picking up the trash. And it just like, you know, it sets an example. And the thing is whatever we do, our kids want to do. In fact, whatever we talk about doing, I've learned, you just talk about doing something, and then next thing you know, your kids want to do it. Like, we were talking, having a conversation with a friend about S kickers, you know, poop kickers.
Which is that a real job?
Well, it's like muck boots, you know, so like, oh, you got your S kickers on, my friend says.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So my daughter goes, Dad, what's a poop kicker? And then we're talking about poop kickers being the muck boots, and you can go kick poop with them. And then my son goes, I want to go kick poop. Can we go out in a pig pen and kick poop? So we just walked around and kicked poop in the pig pen together. And one of the things we do is we kick the pig poop and the cow poop because we want to look in it and see what's in there for seed. So as we're kicking the poop around, we're seeing that there's a bunch of whole corn in the cow poop because I didn't have any ground corn and I'm feeding them a little bit of whole corn, which they're basically not really digesting. So that's why it's important to grind your corn. And then my kids are like, oh, that's corn. Can I eat that corn? I'm like, no, you don't want to eat that corn. But what happens is we let the chickens out there, and the chickens go clean all that corn up. But then we also have we feed some barley that's sprouted, but it's whole, and there's a little bit of that in the poop. And then right now we got a bunch of what's called crushed barley. So it's whole barley that they crush, and we get it in a bag crushed. And there's none of that in the poop because it's already crushed, and the animals totally digest it, the pigs and the cows.
My friend who has a seven-year-old, one day she had a seven-year-old girl-sized bra, and she was like, where did you get this? And apparently one of her friend's mom gave it to her, which is a whole other story. Like, that's kind of like something you shouldn't do without asking somebody's mom, a seven-year-old. And anyways, she was telling her, like, where'd you get this? She told her where she got it, and then she's like, my back pain went away when I started wearing my bra. She was, like, copying all the stuff that she's heard her mom say.
Yep.
And that's just, like, first of all, I mean, it's messed up to give a seven-year-old a bra without asking the mom. That's crazy. So she's kind of mad about that. But also she's like, shut up. That's not true.
Bras are dangerous.
She just wanted to do what her mom was doing.
Right. Bras are dangerous. There is definitely a massive link between chronic bra wearing and breast cancer because it cuts off the, it doesn't allow the nodes. So there's lymph nodes in your armpit that the toxins from your breasts move through the lymph nodes or move to the lymph nodes into your armpit. And then the reason you have hair in your armpit is because so you can sweat out toxins so you can, your body can detoxify.
And you know, I think that I figured something out just now because I always think that some, like fat ladies have ugly armpits and I just realized why. It's because like they wear the bra makes this little pushed up part right around their armpits and then it's just collecting toxins and then later when they get older their armpits look way worse. But also skinny ladies that work out too much have weird cracked looking armpits. But we also have a caller on the line. Oh, sorry, David from New Mexico. I just pressed drop, but I did not mean to drop David from New Mexico. I just clicked the wrong button. So, David, if you're listening, you can call back, and I'm sorry about that.
So the armpit thing real quick.
I've done it too, Bonnie.
The armpit thing, if you basically look in the mirror and you hold your arm up and you look at your armpit and it's bulging, that is it is not it is because that is a swollen lymph node, and it is not detoxifying. So one of the things that blocks up your lymph nodes in your armpits is when people put on, like, certain types of deodorant and antiperspirants. So there's, like, some kind of antiperspirant or deodorant that, I guess antiperspirant is what it is, so it sort of, like, plugs up your pores so you don't sweat.
Yeah, like, aluminum in it.
Yeah, so aluminum's acronium, it happens to be, like, that ingredient, which is, like, very toxic, and, you know, it collects in your brain, and it collects in your mammary glands. And it starts causing issues like breast cancer and Alzheimer's and stuff like that.
I totally believe that because fat cells, they collect toxins.
And your so your pit should look like a pit, not a bump, like you were saying. So that's just something like especially women should be, you know, observing about themselves, you know, that is the condition of their armpits. And if you are using an antiperspirant, then you're literally blocking up, you know, these ducts, these glands that need to excrete toxins.
Man, there's all kinds of drama about my favorite deodorant online. It's so stupid. Like, there's Twitter and Instagram drama about Van Man's deodorant, which I hate that it's called the Van Man's. It's not calling the user a man. It's saying the Van Man created this deodorant. But it's such good deodorant without having any antiperspirant. It is amazing. It has, like, charcoal and coconut oil. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But I hate that there's all kinds of stupid drama around it just because I'm like, I don't want this to go away. It's just that they're like, oh, you can buy beef tallow for way cheaper on Amazon, but he claims he uses better beef tallow. Whatever. And I just think that's so stupid. My sister, I was trying to tell her about it. My deodorant, because you saw deodorant in my bathroom with aluminum in it, and it was not mine. Well, I figured out it was my sister's, but she doesn't really listen to me about anything, like, health-related, so I don't think she's going to change it, because lots of people are just like, I can't not have antiperspirant or else I'll sweat. And I used to feel the same way, like, a couple of years ago.
You need to sweat. It's very important.
Well, I found out that if I work out, I don't excessively sweat. So if I'm working out, I sweat, and then I'm not sweating through the day just from, like, driving or doing nothing, you know? Like, that's why I used to think I needed an antiperspirant because I'd just, like, be sitting there and I'd sweat. But if you work out, you just get rid of that, I think.
And if your body is sweating for a reason, there's two reasons to sweat. To basically get rid of toxins, and also it's a refrigeration effect to cool you down. But it's very important to sweat. It's very healthy for us. There's this YouTube doctor, her name is Rhonda Patrick, I think is her name. I could have that wrong, but if you check her out, she's been part of some of this research I've been doing sort of in my, you know, for my Investing in Our Posterity lecture series, you know, about health and stuff. And she talks about vigorous intermittent exercise, like working as hard as you can.
Sprints
could be vigorous intermittent exercise, climbing trees, logging, shoveling manure.
I hate all this ideas.
But
these ideas.
Work really, really hard for like 4 minutes.
Jump roping works for, okay, 4 minutes. Yeah, all right, that's
and
fine.
Then, yeah, vigorous intermittent, and then take like 4 minutes off and just like kind of be easy. So like stacking hay is like one of these things. Like, you can stack hay like an animal for 4 or 5 minutes, work really hard, and then you can just take it easy.
And it helps, helps you with sweating?
Well, what it does is there's a lot of studies that show that there's, it does all kinds of things, like brain benefits. It gets like the lactic acid that your muscles produce when you work them really hard. When that gets into the brain, it does like a lot of positive benefits, you know, to like brain activity and brain function.
I would suggest jump roping because it also makes your lymph move.
Well, I would suggest like things that need to happen anyways, like stacking the hay and splitting the firewood, and you know hiking through the woods, doing stuff like snowshoeing, for example.
I do want to get this caller on. It looks like we have a caller. I probably pressed the wrong button. Unscreened caller, what's on your mind? Because we have a few minutes left.
Hello. My name's Mark. I'm from Pennsylvania.
What's on your mind, Mark?
I was listening earlier when Jay was talking about his girls milking cows. I heard love and respect, and that really moved me because, you know, I'm not proud of this. I just want to say this to frame my statement. I'm a cranky old man, and, I'm glad I got that. And when he spoke about his wife, I heard a lot of red flags. I mean, these people are corrupt, and, you know, this is terrible. And it's kind of like money over love. They're not caring about our loved ones. And I know everybody gets this. But,
you're right. He loves his kids, and the government wants to take them away and make them live with some strangers.
Well, they didn't get that far. They just wanted to interview him. But, you know, that, you know, ultimately leads to that stuff because the federal government gives a large financial incentive to, you know, the state of New Hampshire to take children away, to put them in foster care, to do these kind of things. But yes, I absolutely love my kids. I love being a dad. I was the oldest brother of, you know, 6 kids. And I really enjoyed, raising my younger brothers, teaching them how to, teaching them how to work. My brother Christopher was, I was 12 when he was born, and his girlfriend, now he's 30 and his, or 30 something, and his girlfriend says, yep, that boy gets his dopamine hits from going to the farm and working hard. And, and that's what, you know, what he was doing when he was a little kid. So, yeah.
Oh, it looks like I don't have Mark anymore, but there is another anonymous caller on. What's on your mind on screen, caller?
Hey. I love all the ideas for how to work out and all of that. I actually, occasionally I walk around for exercise, and a lot of times I find myself picking up, garbage. It's a really good idea.
Oh, that's a great idea. Like killing two birds with one stone. But you have something.
I bring a little bag.
Yeah, right. I just wanted to give a little follow up with the legal advice that I got. I got my ticket.
I think you're going to have to call back tomorrow. I'm sorry. It's Free Talk Live, and we're on 7 to 10 Eastern Time every night. You can find us, and you can call in at any time, but just don't do it right at the end. Peace.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. That's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.